you know, we have three levels of consciousness, as you probably know, the super conscious, the I am presence, your divine self, the conscious, which is what we're in here, and then the subconscious or unconscious. And the conscious and unconscious supposedly get erased. And the super conscious, the soul presence, is ever constant and omnipresent everywhere at all times. And then we learn, once we start to develop certain abilities and have spiritual awakenings, we magnetize teachers, experiences, books, who can teach us to access and then develop these higher faculties so that we can be in communion with the super consciousness, which then helps not only awaken, but purify the lower two and sort the wheat from the chaff. When you and I have both spoken about the two levels of consciousness get erased, they usually do, but not entirely. That's what accounts for deja vu experiences. That's what accounts for, in most cases, child prodigies. There's a bleed through. There's some cellular memory from a prior experience, life experience, that is simply available. That's how a two-year-old can walk up to a piano and start playing Mozart. The residue has been left in them in most cases. There are other cases where it was a divination, a divine gift and blessing in this lifetime. But in many cases of this type of prodigy experience, there's a bleed through. And the same way we have soul recognition of deep soulmates. Is there anyone in this room who's never had the experience where you'll meet a total stranger and you're either instantly in love and you're surprised at yourself? It's like, you know, I don't mean sexiness or physical attraction or romantic. It's just this all-pervasive knowingness. I mean, I've heard many people say it, one glance and I have to spend the rest of my life with you. Or if it's not a romantic, a life partner thing, just you'll take one look at someone or someone will walk into a room, even if you haven't met them, maybe the person's across the room and your heart's just palpitating and you just magnetize. You have to get to that person like you've known this person forever. We incarnate in soul groups. The human species was designed as in the form of tribes, which people also have seemed to have forgotten. And those who have remembered have had it beaten out of them, which I'm talking about the indigenous peoples who've tried to maintain this, and they've had it beaten out of them. The human animal was designed as a tribal animal. And so at the highest level of that, our souls live and move and incarnate in tribes as well. And so we have soul communities. And many people believe, because of their fear and restrictions, limitations, they believe that their biological family is, you know, that's it. That's what you got, and blood is thicker than water, and let's do it, and boom, boom, boom. And many of those are deep soulmates. But there's another level, you know, at the penthouse level of consciousness, of souls with whom you've incarnated life after life after life, ones who know you to the core of your being and who have co-created and co-designed your life lessons and embodiments with you. And when people start having their spiritual awakenings and start entering the courtship with the beloved or the remembrance of their divine origin, they start meeting them and magnetizing them left and right. And the wise ones are smart enough to keep them around and recognize that there's something very majestic and magnificent happening, because these are the ones that create the rapid acceleration of your evolution. And some of them may be biological family, but not necessarily. The primary role of the biological family were ones who would deliver you some of the highest amount of karmic transmutation in the first 20 years of your life, as well as your initial body of teachings to get you started, a set of training wheels to get you up and running. That's the primary role of the biological family. But because of fear and attachment and all of the hoo-ha we've been taught and brainwashed, many people think that's all there is, and that's one of those self-imposed restrictions. You know, the indigenous people, well, all the tribes before, they too became tainted, because even ones that stayed separate from the homogenization of the world and the pollution of the mind of the world, they too got infiltrated in ways. But initially, all the tribes of the world understood the concept that the parents do not own the children, that the tribe is the parent of the children. Most of them have protected that, not necessarily till today, but for eons of time, they protected that. And in my ashrams, that's what I teach as well. We teach everyone that the children who live in that community are the children of everyone in that community, and that the souls that child magnetizes each and every one of them have equally important and valuable things to teach that child and to be taught by that child.